Good morning. He took my sins and my sorrows and made them his very own. Do we stand amazed this morning? Such a tremendous love. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. We stood twice already. I guess I won't ask you to stand again, but let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord, many times we lose our amazement and we get distracted. And Lord, thank you that this morning we can again have our hearts drawn back to the amazement of your love. And because of that love, we are here together this morning, just rejoicing in such a tremendous salvation, that you would salvage us from such places of rubbish. And Lord, we almost can't grasp the amazement of your love, but we accept it this morning and receive it with glad hearts and just pray that you would stir each one of us up in our most holy faith. Today, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for each one here. And Lord, we look to you this morning and just pray whatever feeble words are uttered here, it would be a means of you working in our hearts and lives individually. And receiving the encouragement that we need to continue on our journey of faith. Lord, we look to you in these last days that we live in. Thank you that there's still faith on the earth. And that we get to be part of the small people of your creation that have come to the beautiful understanding of the reality of the kingdom of God. That we can live for today because of what you've done. And so, Father, we commit our moments to you and ask that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to read just several verses here. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. 14 verses later, it stated, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let it be for them for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. That was the beginning of time as we know it. And I'd like to look a little bit at that subject this morning as it relates to time. We're creatures of time, very different from God. You know, this morning as I consider this tremendous gift that each one of us is handed and responsibility of the subject of time, I don't really feel like I'm worthy to talk about this subject. In fact, as I pondered the whole subject of time and a gift that we have of time and what are we doing with our time and began putting some thoughts together, I hope and trust that I don't come across this morning in some sort of a heavy way of all of us being responsible for this thing called time, but rather it can be a means of encouragement for us to make the best use of the time that God has gifted to us in our hands. And I don't want to come across in any kind of a condescending way. Some of you that know me better than others, my thoughts tend to go toward things that God is working in my own heart. And when I share, generally that's what I share from. Sometimes it's from my own need, and this is definitely one of those. It's good for me to consider, what is Brian Nolt doing with his time? Tremendous gift that God has given us. And so this morning, that's a little bit where I want to go. As we consider this whole thing of time, time is a reality we all live in till time gives way to eternity. You know, to some degree or another, all of us know the reality of racing against the clock, don't we? You know, time, but just, I suppose for most of us, just doesn't seem to be enough of it in a day. We tend to run up against that many times. God is not like that. We're creatures that function within the confines of time. God is not that way. God is not that way this morning. We want to look a little bit at that. You know, God is eternal. In fact, scriptures say different times, the eternal God. God is eternal. And, you know, as I was pondering this whole subject of time and us being creatures of time, you know, God is an eternal God. And we, at least I, have a hard time sometimes wrapping my mind around the realities of eternity. Time and eternity will go on forever and ever. We have a hard time sometimes grasping a hold of the reality of God always was. God is eternal. And we have a hard time grasping that. And I think that's because we're creatures of time. We understand time, we understand beginning, we understand end. God is not necessarily that way. But we do know that the day will come where time will be no more. Revelation 10:5-6 says it this way, "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that are therein, and the earth, and the things that are therein, and the sea, and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer." The day will come where the season of time will be over, and we will be ushered into the eternal realities. And it's no wonder that Peter could say, he said, and in fact he got this I think from Psalms 90 verse 2, where it reads, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." And then Peter stated later, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." It's hard to fathom that, but in God's, if I'm understanding it correctly, from an eternal perspective, it says here, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And we really, I know for myself, can't really fathom that because we're creatures of time. We're creatures of time. And I don't want to put a lot of focus on that this morning, but rather get to some the practical realities about time as it relates to me. And what am I doing with this thing called time that God has given to me? Although man now lives within a time-space framework, he will live eternally. God, who existed eternally, will remove time, and man will relate to God in an eternal relationship. I'm of the persuasion this morning, as children of God, as children of the kingdom of God, God has a plan as we relate in time for each one of our lives individually and personally. And I would desire this morning, with the things that I plan to share for it this morning, not to be some sort of a heavy thing, unless it needs to be a heavy thing as we consider various areas of our life and what we do with our time, but rather it could be a motivation, an encouragement to us as we consider the realities of time and the time that God gives us and what might we do with our time. And the first thing I'd like to consider this morning is, and this is very simple, it's very basic, and I know that we all believe in it, I believe sitting here, but to have a kingdom of God focus is the most essential thing, the most essential thing, a very essential thing as it relates to this subject of time. You know, God has us here, and we get to be part of God's kingdom, and there is a kingdom to be built. And I think it is so essential that we have a kingdom of God focus, very foundational. And it's been my testimony 20 plus years ago, where I went through a season of a year or two of God working deeply in my heart, to eventually I came to a place of surrender and commitment and yieldedness to Christ, where something changed in my life, where my focus and my goals and all those things changed. Very essential. Very essential. I believe it comes to us in different ways. Your experience may be different than mine. But this morning, that we would have a kingdom of God focus. So starkly contrasts from the secular world and what man does with his time, that we're very influenced by. You know, I don't think we need to talk much about it this morning, but the natural man who has no kingdom of God values, he does not have the fear of God, how he spends his time and his pursuits in life should be contrastly different from the child of God this morning. Some of those differences, I believe a key difference from someone without kingdom values is what can this life offer me? What can I get out of this life? Versus, I believe, the kingdom Christian, what can I contribute to the kingdom of God? May that passion burn in our hearts this morning. What can I do? What can I contribute to this kingdom that I get to live for? As a believer this morning, how can I impact God's kingdom and in so doing do damage to Satan's kingdom? What am I doing with this tremendous gift of time that God has given me? You know, I tend to be a person who I think so anyway, and I know where this passion changed in my life, and that is when it comes to family and home values. I'd at least, as we consider this subject of time and the gift, of time that each one of us has. Not that this is going to be my primary focus this morning, but you know, family values and home values are so essentially important as it relates to the subject of time. As it relates to the subject of time, and we cannot hardly look at this whole thing of our time and skip over this one, because I believe it is essentially important. In fact, as I was pondering the subject of time, and I ponder my own life's realities on my own past 20 years in life, and I just was considering back of those things, you know, this, the charity movement, actually a very key essential from the beginning, was built on a passion for home and a passion for family. And you know, over the years, it's easy to become lax as it relates to those things. It is, but that's what it was built on. And the foundational verse that many times we heard over the early years, even though I wasn't part of it from the very beginning, I exposed myself a lot to it through the tape ministry. But Malachi 4:6 was a very typical common verse. And that is, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Thus I come and smite the earth with a curse. That was one of the things that was a tremendous motivator in the early years. And it's good for me to consider, where am I at as it relates to that as a person this morning? The movement was built on it. And you know, I'd like to even suggest this morning, it's probably the greatest kingdom investment that most of us will ever have to invest in, and that's our homes. That's our homes. Just to consider that reality here this morning. It's very easy to go down a road of compromising on family and home values. It's a huge subject. And so this morning, I'd at least like to look at that a little bit as it relates to time. And here again this morning, I'm speaking to myself. I'm not trying to come across in any kind of a condescending way. I feel like I'm a new person here in the fellowship, and I'm not necessarily sharing this other than I think most of us are made of the same thing that I am. And it's good to be reminded and pulled back sometimes to what am I really doing with my time. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning, enough in my own life and experience. You know, it's very easily on a Sunday afternoon, depending on where my children are at, what they're doing, when I ought to probably be getting up and checking in on things. And it's very easily to stay seated and just kind of let it go. Or am I the kind of dad that is on my toes? Or maybe I know there is a need in one of the hearts of one of my children, and I know it's time for me to rise up and be the father and do what needs to be done. And the easiest thing to do is to stay sitting or ignore it. And so just as we consider the whole subject a little bit here of about family and time, I am talking to myself this morning. You know, we as fathers sometimes get tired. Maybe just an example. And I thought about our past. I thought about our journey. I thought about time. I thought about the investment in the children. I keenly remember. Well, this goes back when we lived in the city of York quite a number of years ago, 20 plus years ago, possibly. We had two little children. Our third one was on the way. And I remember, and I'm not lifting this up as the only way to educate our children by homeschooling, even though I do know in the early years of our movement, and I think it still exists today a lot, the burden to educate our children at home, even though I'm not lifting that up as the only way, I think there can be a real good children get a good education. I think all those things in a Christian day school too. I believe in all that, but I believe in an incredible way it takes parental involvement, where we take our time and our focus. And so I want to be careful that I don't come across in that way as the only way. I don't believe in that. In fact, there was times when I wondered if we would be better off considering that with some of the needs that we have in our home. However, I'm thankful today that my wife is continuing to educate our younger children at home. I'm thankful for that, and I'm not lifting that up as an only way. I want to make sure I communicate that. But having said that, I do remember years ago when we lived in York, my wife and I went out to the Salvation Army store, and we were doing some shopping there, and there was an older gentleman in the store, and I don't remember anymore how we got on the subject or how we got there, but somehow we began, he communicated to us that his wife homeschooled all their children. And he was an older gentleman, and if I recall correctly, we inquired where his wife was at, and he kind of jokingly, yet seriously said, she's at home, she's tired, and she's worn out. And for a young family who was just getting ready to launch into this thing, she's home, and she's worn out. Is it worth it? Well, my point this morning is, and I'm not lifting this up as the ideal, but when it comes to the investment that we make in our homes, it's worth it. And I'm also in our midlife journey today, where I look back over our years and realize one of the things that we have to be careful with, and I'm guessing there's been quite a few here that could testify of the same thing. In some of those early years, young, we were just newly converted. We had a passion, we had a goal, we had a vision, and we had a lot of high ideals. And I think there's quite a few of us that could also relate that sometimes we hit this midlife thing where we realize some of those high ideals maybe aren't coming to reality like we hoped. Not talking about total devastation, but some of those realities aren't quite what we had hoped. And it's very easy to go into a bit more of a lax mode and a relaxed mode. And my encouragement this morning is, you know what? Irregardless of some of those ideals not being reached, let's not stop investing time where time should be invested. So talking about the home subject here a bit this morning. So may that give us some encouragement here this morning. Let's make the investment. Let's invest time where time should be invested. We all have 24 hours in a day, every one of us, but we have very different life circumstances. I am not going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It's somewhat of a familiar chapter to all of us where it reads about there's a time for, and it goes down through about a time for everything. But I am going to read verse 1 that says, "To everything there is a season, and to every time and to every purpose under heaven." You know, we all have 24 hours in a day, but we all have very different seasons in life. And I think we all understand that. I remember very keenly, years ago, soon after we were married, my wife and I had a little green Grand Am car that we drove around in. And I remember driving around with my wife the first year or two of our marriage before we had children. I remember looking in the back seat saying, "Honey, can you imagine what it would be like to have a car seat back there to have a child in?" And far too soon, we are outgrowing our little Grand Am, and eventually we're in a big van, and we are busy. And we know what that's like. We all have different seasons. And then we have the seasons where children begin leaving home. And we have a season right now where my wife and I are in where we have aging parents on both sides, and they're having failing health. It's an incredible investment. We have different seasons. And so this morning, I'd just like to consider that we have 24 hours in a day. And, you know, some of us, you know, the whole financial dynamics make a difference on how we the kind of time we have or don't have. And just to consider those things as we consider the subject of time. My wife found an article here for me this morning. I'd like to read it this time. It says, "There's not enough time for all things, but there's enough time for the most important things. Enough time to explore back roads, stroll through the beach, looking for shells, teaching a little boy to fly a kite, doze in a hammock. There's not enough time for reading trashy books, for gossip, for holding pity parties, or aimless surfing the internet, crying out over past mistakes. It's a matter of priority." Where are we putting our time and investment this morning is the question that we're raising here. You know, some of us, because of some life's choices, maybe it affects the amount of time we have. Maybe because of, you know, we can think of various things. But I believe there's grace for us, irregardless of what season we're in life. Irregardless of the season that we're in life, I believe it's God's will that we make the best investment with the time God gives us. Hard seasons in life can cause us to lose our vision, but may we keep our vision and our priorities where God would have us to keep them. I'd like now, as it relates to the subject of time, just look at two different passages, as time permits here, with the subject of time. Let's turn to James chapter 4. And this is a familiar chapter to us, and just a few things for us to consider as it relates to time. James chapter 4, I'm going to read 13 to the end. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. For that you ought say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Just a couple of things I'd like to allude to as we think of this passage of Scripture here. These verses show us the tendency of the natural man. And these verses here, I believe, also call us to examine our priorities. It reads, it says, go to now, which, if I understand it right, it is simply saying, listen to what I say. The person that says, tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gains. But if rather, we should say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. I'd just like for us to consider, you know, I alluded a little bit before to, I believe, the natural man pursuing wealth and pursuing financial security and all those kind of things. And I think, I'm speaking from myself maybe a bit, I know that tendency. In fact, the home and the family that I come from, I have that tendency, it was a strong part of my cultural past to have a good bank account, a good secure future. And the Scripture here teaches us that don't say we're going to go into a city and continue there to buy and sell and get gain, but rather if the Lord wills. And I do believe as it relates to the subject of time, we can be, this is my point, we can be at a place of rest as it relates to the various circumstances that surround my life that will determine how much time I have to invest in certain places as it relates to the kingdom of God. That's my point, so that we can actually be at a place of rest as it relates to those things. And just to give an example that I thought of my two sons as it relates to this. You know, for some people in life, and may this not cause us to struggle. If we're one of those that you know, we look around and it seems some other people, whatever they do turns to gold. Whatever they do turns to gold. They just prosper. And that can have a negative effect on us. And I thought about that. I thought about my two sons. I'm a dad that always, and I think sometimes I wonder maybe if I'm shifting my view a little bit as it relates to this, but my sons, when it came time for them to purchase their vehicles, I always encouraged them. I was always a little bit more of a clunker man. You know, you just pay less for a car. Maybe it'll make them a little bit more responsible. If they buy an expensive vehicle, then technically it might be the thing to do is have collision insurance on, and they may not be as responsible. I was always a bit more of an encouragement. Buy something cheaper. And then you can drive it and get some good life out of it. Maybe they'd be a more responsible driver. That's just how I encouraged my children. I had two sons. One of my sons, every vehicle he bought turned out to be a lemon. The other son, the vehicle he bought, it just ran. It didn't matter if he just gave a few dollars for it, it just ran. In fact, one of them purchased a vehicle like that, and it turned out to be a good vehicle. And then he sold it to his younger brother, and it just, like, it morphed into a lemon. And that's life. But my point is that I believe, irregardless of our, and I'm saying this because I believe it, it's harder to live it. But irregardless of our circumcise, of our circumstance and life, though it may seem that way, we can actually be at rest and at peace with God. And one of the hard lessons I feel like I learned in life as it relates to time is there is going to be some things in life that only eternity is going to fix. We're not going to fix everything. In fact, I thought about suggesting this at the beginning. There's possibly, just for the sake of what I'm talking about as it relates to time this morning, there's two different kind of people here. And I know this is, I'm just giving this as an analogy. But some of us are very overly time conscious, and some of us are probably hardly time conscious at all. And I don't know how, what that should actually mean. I'm just giving that but I think it's good that we all make good use of our time, because I guess I just gave that example there as I realized that we can actually be at a place of rest, irregardless of these things. All right, I'd like to look at another let's talk a little bit yet about this whole thing of life being a vapor. It speaks of that here. For what is our life? It is but a vapor. And only what is done for Christ will last. But let's just consider this subject a little bit about life being a late vapor. You know, life is very, very short. A vapor is something that's but for a moment, and then it's gone. And that's our life. that's our life. You know, we know what it's like to walk through a graveyard and look at a gravestone and it's born and then there's a dash and then it's the death. And, you know, that's what life in a sense is, as it relates to the beginning of creation. We look at time and our life is that little dash. And what am I doing with that little dash that God has given me? May we be encouraged this morning to be the kind of person that makes a life investment. You know, life without purpose, a Christian living his life without purpose, in my mind, is a tragedy. I heard statistics just recently that there's more people in our nation that are on antidepressant medicines than heart disease medicines, and the list went on, and I can't document this, but I do believe it. There is an incredible amount of people in our country that are on antidepressant medicines. And if you happen to be one of them this morning, I'm not targeting you, because I do believe there are some times where life is overwhelming, and I do understand that reality. But I think it's alarming, the amount of people in our nation that are antidepressant medicines. My wife recently read a news article that mentioned that our nation's depression rate is much greater than any other nation. And you know, there's nations that are facing war. There's nations that are in awful shape from a political standpoint. And yet here, all the freedoms we have, and there's more depressed people in these nations. What is wrong? And we are a people that have more time on our hands than most anybody. And it is my opinion, of my persuasion. In fact, James 4:17 that I just read says, "Therefore, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I wonder how much less depression there could be in our nation if we would simply just take the principle in this verse and believe it and do it. You know, if we are simply making earthly investments like the secular people in our world are, and we know where our nation is, we know the shape that it's in, I think I'd be depressed too. But you know, isn't it a blessing that we as kingdom children can make eternal investments that will not pass away, will never pass away? And is it any wonder that the depression rate is so high and the suicide rate so high? I believe it was the suicide rate in our nation is so much higher than other nations. And here we are. You know, I think America is still, at least was, the number one place where people wanted to come to because of our opportunities. And yet we tend to be a nation like that. And I, this morning, think a large part of it is because our nation is not making kingdom investments, which we as children of God get to make. What an incredible opportunity that we have. And you know, I'd just like to lift that up. You know, there's a lot of children here. Children that are 10, 11, 12 years old. Learn to make that kind of investment in life where you can make a difference. You say, well, what can I do to affect the kingdom of God? Well, him that knows to do good and does it not. I mean, that's a point blank scripture. To him it is sin. We have tremendous opportunities. And to you children that are sitting here this morning, I'd just like to share a little bit of a testimony or whatever of my past. I remember as a little boy, I don't know how old I was. I'm going to suggest I was 9, 10, 11, or 12. I was in a home where there was four boys in a row, and then there was two girls came, and then there was a little boy on behind. But it was four boys in the home. And my mother, I think many times was an overwhelmed mother with four boys in the house. And you know, that's how it is in a home. Mothers are very, very busy. And I keenly remember there were times where my mother was trying to prepare a Sunday afternoon meal because we were having company. And I used to, as a little boy, get a bit frustrated about our house just seemed to be a mess. Our house was not in order like some other homes were. And I used to, as a little boy, I'd get frustrated. I wish things would be different. And I could look at my mom and I could see she was frazzled and she was frustrated. And I remember very keenly the day came where I was at home one day and it was Saturday and my mom was having company. And I remember in my heart as this little boy, I said, I can make a difference. I can make a difference. I can do something. And I did it. And here I am, 49 years old, and I vividly remember that point back there. I can't say that I always did that. I know I didn't. But I know the feeling that I had in my heart when I know I did something. And may that be a reality in the hearts of you young children. And not only in you young children, but the 49-year-olds too. We can make a difference. We can build for the kingdom of God, and that is where peace comes. And I think that's what our world needs. I think it's no wonder that we have such an incredibly high depression and suicide rate in our nation. Because we have tremendous opportunities. And we're spurning them, and we're living for ourselves. As a nation, that's right, Lord have mercy, but we can make a difference. And that is my encouragement this morning. What are we going to do with all the time that God gives us? I'd like yet to look at Ephesians 5, and then I'd like to just tweak it a little bit of a different gear and talk just a little bit about something yet. Ephesians 5, 14 through 17. These are very key verses as it relates to time. Our minds probably go to it many times. I know my mind does. Ephesians 5, 14 through 17 reads, "Therefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as wise, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." I want to talk a little bit about walking circumspectly. I want to talk a little bit about the evil time that we live in. And I want to talk a little bit about redeeming the time. But before I go there, I just want to allude to a subject. And I do this very, very carefully because I'm a new man here. And I don't know what all the discussions were on this subject. But it is a subject and it is an area where I'm just going to say it from my own heart. I have a concern. I have a concern. And I'm not exempt from it. I believe, as it relates to this whole subject of walking circumspectly, walking carefully, and as it relates to the subject of the evil day that we live in, I have in my pocket something that is an incredible time saver. This thing saves time for me in incredible ways. But there's something about this thing that is potential, has potential to be deadly. It really does. And I think a lot of us here have them. Just this week, I was able to avoid a traffic jam that would have delayed me for a long time, and I couldn't have fulfilled one of the responsibilities that I had committed to my son that I was going to do it. And that is a result of avoiding a traffic jam. And we say, you know what, that thing's amazing. And it is. I was one of those men who held out for a long time. I said, I am not going to get one of them. I'm going to do without it. And the day came, and he didn't do it against my will. I supported it. My oldest son ended up getting one. And I scratched my head a bit, and I was okay with it. And I'm not sure at what point if my second child got one and then I got one. But I came to a time where I decided, you know what? If we're going to have them and if they're here to stay, I probably ought to get one so I know what all's on there, what the pros and cons are about it. And I remember my son telling me, Dad, if you get one, you will never want to do without it again. And you know what? He was true. It was the truth. And I'm still not saying that by all of us just accepting it is the thing to do. Obviously, we did. We are, and here we are, and I have one. So I am not condescending on anybody about it. But, you know, sometimes I'm alarmed at the potential of these things that we have in our pockets. And I don't know what all the congregation has done over the years of them coming in here, and that's okay. I'm not bringing this up because I'm greatly alarmed about it and think we shouldn't have them. But I am alarmed about it if we're not having conversation and if we're not considering it, especially from a perspective as a father. If I'm just saying, here, you can have it. This whole subject of time, I think about this. And so therefore, I'm not bringing it up. I think it's important that we discuss and we talk about these things. You know, I remember when I was converted, my former life, it isn't really pretty, I'll just say it that way. But I remember at conversion, one of the things that I did was, in fact, I got this from another brother, but you know, if life took me out somewhere overnight where I had to be out overnight, and ended up going into a motel room, the first thing I did when I walked into a motel room was walked over and I took that television and I did a 100-degree turn and faced at the wall. Temptation was over. While I was staying in that motel, I had absolutely no, I shouldn't say I had absolutely no temptation. But to avoid the temptation, I got that thing and I spun it to the wall. And there was times where I would be sitting there and I would think, I wonder what's on the news. No, I turned that thing to the wall. I'm not going to turn it on. I'm going to avoid the temptation. Well, you know what? Today, many times, I myself will pull this thing out and say, well, I wonder what's happening on the news. And I'll look at it. And, you know, sometimes the pop-ups that come, they're lethal. And I'm thankful today I can stand here with a testimony, but then things come up. I hit the button and it's over and it's done. But I also know that there was a time in my life where I was a struggling young boy. I was a struggling young boy. And all I can say, when I was in my youth, I am so glad I did not have one of these, because I was not prepared for it. Not because I don't think young people should have it, but where I was at, I was far from an ideal place. Now, I do believe that God can do amazing things in the hearts of young people. I believe in that, and I believe in that reality, and I believe that's what our goal should be. But I don't think we should be sleeping dads as it relates to this subject, because we don't live in an ideal world, and we do have young people that struggle, and sometimes we struggle, and they can be lethally damaging. And so as we consider this subject of time, I thought I'd at least like to just bring that up. Lord, help us to walk circumspectly. If there's any other generation, it's my persuasion, that needs to learn to walk circumspectly with the tool, if we want to call it a tool. And I think it should be a tool. And if it's not a tool, then I would question whether I should have one, because I think we should use it a tool. But if there's ever a time that I think we need to walk circumspectly and carefully. Circumspectly means diligently. And I just did a little bit of interesting as I looked at this whole word. It says we should walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. With a few buttons on the computer, I could see where this word, Greek word, was used for the first time. And sometimes it's interesting to do that. And it was actually used where the wise men went to King Herod and brought to his attention about the king of the Jews. And he got alarmed and said, you go search diligently where you can find him. Because he was alarmed about the king of the Jews. That word diligently is the same as circumspectly. Just as it was in King Herod's heart, we need to do something. May the same thing burn in our hearts as we realize the day that we live in. May we walk circumspectly and carefully, especially as fathers. And I am speaking to myself. I want you to know that. The days are evil. We talked about that. You know, it's incredible. And I mentioned it, but I'll just say it again. It's incredible the amount of pop-ups that come on a phone. Maybe some of you that are more phone-wise can figure out how to get rid of them. I don't understand all that as it relates from a technical standpoint. But the days are evil that we live in. May we learn to redeem the time, to rescue it from the lost, is what that actually means as it relates to redeeming the time. So may we this morning be encouraged to live a life of redeeming the time and making the best use of our time. Just a few things in closing. And I don't want this to be an overwhelming subject this morning. It would probably have the potential of being that. But may it be an encouragement to us to be on our toes. And call us back to the most important things in life. Four verses I'm just going to read here in closing. Ecclesiastes 9:10. These are verses that may they just give us some encouragement. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. What our hand finds to do, let's do it with our might. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, and God gives us many opportunities, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Colossians 4:5, we walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. As we live in this reality of time, may that be our testimony. He that hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Christ. I am thankful that there is still a vision on the earth for godly families and for homes and for those kind of investments. may we continue on that journey and have our hearts encouraged. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. That was a very needful and pertinent message to our hearts today, and I think all of us can relate to it. I'm sure I can, and very thankful for those words of wisdom and warning and practical application of the principles of God. Much could be said on some of your comments there, but especially on the matter of depression. I had to think and relate to that in the world today, how sad it is that the only time that they can be brought to joyful expression is many times through the influence of humor or even alcohol or something like that. But in normal life, they are sad. And that's because they don't have real purpose in life. They don't have a direction as to where they're going. And the words spoken to us this morning on that subject are very, very good. I agree, too, that there's something wrong when we have no joy and we have no exuberance and manifestation of enjoyment of life. Over the years, I've often thought, I can't get enough of it. Life has been such a blessing in so many ways. To think of being weary of life was just not my problem. And that's because the joy of the Lord was my strength many times, and I found so much satisfaction in serving Him. And I encourage that. So I undergird, I bless those words this morning. They are true. And thank you for the warnings concerning the cell phones. That likewise is actually had a subject or a little bit of a something in mind there to talk about at Tel Hai in December. On the progression that I see in that, of how there's evil progressing with many of those things. They start in innocence and as a tool, as you say, and then bring many other things along with them.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.